El Paso has had its share of film screening series over the decades, some short-lived, others longer-running. But for as long as I can remember, one man has been at constant work sharing his enthusiasm for classic films with the borderland. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is Jay Duncan, film programmer, cinephile, and movie historian who, for decades, has created a number of film series and opportunities for local film lovers to watch and learn about the cinema. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Chuck.
Great to have you back. How many decades? I don't want to put you on the spot, but
well,
it's been a few.
Probably since the early to mid-70s.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many films do you think you've screened for people over
don't
this?
Don't put me on the spot. Kind of all started through continuing education, sharing back in those days, pre-video, you know, so a 16-millimeter film, you know, running through a projector. And always got a kick out of that because even back then, how many people had really, you know, seen projectors, you know, unless they owned one or you know, maybe an 8-millimeter and so forth. So the first 10 minutes was always people looking over their shoulders, listening to the click, 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 click of the projector and watching the mechanism at work.
And you were involved with the last days of the Plaza Theater, programming some repertory titles there. I know for a while you were even had a show on KCOS.
That's true. I've always just kind of been, as you know, very well, you know, so we're kind of birds of a feather here. So once it gets in your blood, you don't want it to go away. You know, it's kind of a good malady, I guess, if you will.
We'll just say that the number would be over 1,000, maybe. Probably over 1,000
yes.
Films you've presented. And your latest incarnation is Sunset Film Society, which you began a few years ago. You've been on the show a couple of times. I know it's moved a few times, but it's really settled at the International Museum of Art now, correct?
Yes, we celebrated our first anniversary on a weekly basis there on July 11th. So we're into the second.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And, of course, the Sunset Film Society as an organization and as a society has been around now 3 years.
Hmm. Time flies.
It does.
And this is a weekly program, which is great. My own film series is monthly, so you have to wait too long for the next one to come
I know.
Around.
Let's get with it, huh?
Well, I'm not as young as you. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., people can find a fine film at the International Museum. And the best part is the cost?
The cost, yes. We're starting something a little different. It is free, and it is free parking, but there is an exit charge now. So, no, I'm just kidding. The price is right. And if you want popcorn, it's freshly popped. It's not microwaved. It's like a real, you know, antique corn popping machine, bottled water, soft drinks, candy. And the next best thing is everything is just a dollar, you know, so the food items. So it's a pretty good deal. Cheap date.
I'm always intrigued by the series you put together, and this one is particularly strong, I think. Let's talk about the films. Today's film, you're kicking off your September slate with a really hard-to-find film. I think most people have never heard of this movie, but you shared it with me years ago, and it's fantastic.
I agree. So, you know, you look at that and you think, this is 1934. It could have been made last week. You know, I mean, so many subjects that touch home now, I think, and it's well worth seeing, I think. And so here's your chance to see it. And oh, by the way, we have an updated projection system and player. So we have a all-region Blu-ray situation. So the screen is bigger, the sound is better, and so forth. So there's absolutely no reason to not come.
So the title is Gabriel Over the White House, as you mentioned, from 1934. Walter Houston, is that right?
John's dad.
Amazing. What makes this such an interesting film?
Well, other than it's virtually unknown, and when you see it, you're kind of blown away by it because you think, how come I hadn't heard of this before? I don't want to give anything away other than this is kind of a political year. Not kind of, but it is.
And some of the things that happen in this film are certain candidates would love to be able to do and have the power to do.
Absolutely.
It's kind of chilling in some ways.
A couple of these films, I think, should be required viewing by all the world's leaders, just as a cautionary situation. But what makes it so interesting, I think, is that circumstances change a man's perspective on how to lead the country from corruption and graft and lobbyists and so forth to, hey, I'm going to do what's right for the people. Gee, what a novel concept. So it has to do with a change of attitude due to maybe something to do with the title, you know, but it's not hokey in any way. You don't have any kind of
we can just say it that
yes,
there's
yes.
an angel that visits the White House.
That's true. But it's not seen. but the presence is felt.
Right.
And it's just quite interesting and really food for thought, I think. It's very thought-provoking.
Yeah. Someone trying to do good and in the end doing good, but with some really chilling means to an end.
And certain people don't want him to do good because
right.
they like the way things are, you know. So it's definitely well worth checking out, I think, today. And
next week you jump ahead to a really interesting film, another film that very few people have probably seen, The Boy with Green Hair.
Right.
What year was that?
That's 1948, and it's in Technicolor. Obviously, it helps a lot, you know, with a title like
with
that.
With green hair.
So imagine, if you will, he has green hair. Dean Stockwell, who probably along with Margaret O'Brien was one of the premier child actors and actresses of that period. Pat O'Brien is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Hale, who played Della Street on Perry Mason. Robert Ryan. So, you know, it's RKO. Fairly low budget, but still enough to have Technicolor. And Joseph Lucy directed it. I think it was his debut. It's coming out of World War II. People are kind of fed up with conflict and so forth. And this is a take on what if a young boy wakes up one morning with green hair, and what does that mean? What's the message there, and how does he try to convey the message to the people?
And not just any young boy, but a young orphan boy
right.
whose parents are European. And
right.
it's also about intolerance. And
Yes.
It's sort of a morality play.
It is, and not only an orphan, but a war orphan. And that plays into the storyline, too, for the war orphans that are left.
Right.
You know, these two films, Gabriel and Boy with Green Hair, may not be in the forefront of most people's, you know, memory of motion pictures, and they certainly should be seen, I think, because they are kind of unique and in a class by themselves.
And they're both about, if you will, fear or despair and how we react negatively or positively mm-hmm. in those circumstances.
That's true, yes.
And I think Boy with Green Hair, the screenwriter, was shortly thereafter blacklisted.
Yes.
These are the kinds of films that
rabid
anti-communists would point to and say, see, there's all sorts of hidden messages in there.
Yes, exactly.
When really it's just about we all have to treat each other better.
Yeah, like do the right thing, you know,
right.
put the humanity back in humans, you know, for instance, you know, what a concept that is. But, yeah, it's a very, very fine little film and wonderful performances, as you'd expect from that kind of a cast, you know, very professional, treated very seriously. It's no tongue-in-cheek there, you know, and it's trying to convey a message that, again, you know, this is 3 years after the end of World War II, so mm-hmm. there's a lot going on in it.
Two important, hard-to-find message films leading into arguably your favorite film of all time, also a message film.
Yes, that's true. And, again, it becomes more relevant as the decades pass, I think, because, you know, the what's the name of the film again?
The Day the Earth Stood
Still. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's your favorite, isn't it?
It probably is. Has nothing to do with that my admiration for the film is that I've had Klaatu personalized plates since 1973. in any event, the message is there. And I know when we talked to we, meaning my co-editor and I, when I had a fanzine back in the late 70s, talked to Robert Wise.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his favorites of his directorial efforts. It, and of course, you know, he liked Sound of Music and West Side Story for different reasons.
Sure.
Because all the awards and so forth that it got and the public's admiration for that. But he said The Day the Earth Stood Still, and he said after all these years, and this was back in 78, I would have hoped that we would have learned something by now. And this was, you know, 20 years after the movie came out.
And that learn something is to get along.
We
have to have an alien visitor come and tell us,
yeah.
Everybody get along.
Ironically, the most human being on the planet is not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the message is simple. Learn to live in peace or face obliteration. Because now with your atomic energy and your reaching to the stars and so forth, you're endangering the life forms on other planets.
You know? An amazing film. Technically, I mean, it's beautifully directed, written, beautifully shot in black and white. Bernard Herrmann's score is incredible. This is really a fine piece of work. And also one of those early sci-fi films, 1951, that helped kick off that whole race in the 50s That's to true. Churn these things out, but also one of the few films in which the alien is not here to destroy us,
yeah.
per se.
That's true. It's
that
more,
may be the threat, but the goal is something.
The goal is to smarten us up a little bit. Ironically, too, you mentioned 1951. Your favorite film
That's right.
happens to be from that year, too.
Competing aliens, the thing from another world.
That's right. That's right.
Well, it occurs to me that all of these are have their foot, though, in the milieu of their times, that they are responding to latent fears in the society. Gabriel Over the White House came out at the beginning of the Depression and what needs to be done about it. The Boy with the Green Hair is dealing with, you know, the early post-war concerns about where the world was going. Day of the Earth Stood Still is definitely a Cold War-themed film. And that leads into your final film, On the Beach.
Yes.
A great quartet, I think, bookending.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
another film that a lot of people probably have not seen on
I
the
know,
beach.
And with that cast, and, you know, I was mentioning it yesterday, and, you know, mentioning Gregory Peck, Ava Gardner, Fred Astaire, Anthony Perkins, and it wasn't, for whatever reason, I don't think it was widely seen by a lot of people at the time of release in 1959.
This is one of those films that sort of asks the question, you know, what if? You know, what if all of our fears really do come true, and the world is pretty much annihilated by
yes,
nuclear
war. Yes, we're ending
war.
It on a happy note.
That's right.
But yes.
But a beautifully somber film.
Oh, it is.
Gregory Peck is, as I recall, is a submarine commander.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And Fred Astaire, of all things, is a scientist in a dramatic role and a race car driver by his avocation.
Set down under, as I recall, one of the last uncontaminated places.
Yes, all set in Australia, making good use of Waltzing Matilda as a recurring theme in the film. It's not, I don't want to say it's hard to watch, but man, you walk away thinking about, man, this is getting pretty close to, too close for comfort here.
And if that weren't enough, in September, you also have a screening series the third Sunday of every month at Artavino's Desert Crossing at noon. What's coming up?
What's coming up is some British humor. We have Monty Python and the Holy Grail and a double bill. We'll have a little break in between and then show the best of Benny Hill.
Oh,
so, from the sublime to the ridiculous.
A
maybe.
Day of British irreverence and body humor.
Right.
B-A-W-D-Y.
That's right. That's right. Body. So, yeah, hopefully there's something for everybody, and we invite everybody to come check us out. And I know that they can keep informed on our website, too, and see some poster graphics as well.
Great lineup for September. Lots to keep us busy. Jay, always nice to talk movies with you.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
I've been discussing the Sunset Film Society's September slate of offerings with the Society's founder and director, Jay Duncan. The Sunset Film Society will screen the hard-to-see 1933 MGM film Gabriel Over the White House today at 2 p.m. at the International Museum of Art, located at 1211 Montana Avenue. The film stars Walter Houston as a president who receives a visit from the angel Gabriel, and admission is free. For more information on the Sunset Film Society and its upcoming film screenings at the International Museum of Art and Artavino's Desert Crossing, log on to sunsetfilmsociety.org. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.